This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thanks for staying with us. Now, some countries are mulling the idea of making the vaccinations for COVID compulsory. And the same way most countries, including Malaysia, have school kids vaccinated before they're allowed to step into school. Could the country do the same?
Well, Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation Kari Jamaluddin has said that the government would rather build on vaccine confidence through their communication plan in order to encourage people to willingly get it themselves after having gone through risk communications. But in order for the COVID-19 vaccine to be fully effective in protecting public health, herd immunity needs to be reached. And that means having 70% of the population vaccinated. Can Malaysia achieve that number?
Well, to discuss this, we've got on the line with us Azrul Mohamed Kaleb, the Chief Executive for the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. As always, thanks for joining us, Azrul. Now, the WHO says it's better to encourage and facilitate vaccinations rather than make it mandatory. But they've also said that it's each country's discretion. What's your opinion?
Well, I certainly agree that we should not make it mandatory. I mean, studies have shown that mandatory vaccination does not automatically increase vaccine uptake. If there's any increase after such an initiative, it's usually because there's public information awareness campaigns which are conducted together with the campaign. So mandatory vaccinations may also increase actually distrust in the public services and the government's intentions. It will actually have usually a contrary result as a result of putting it mandatory because, you know, anti-vaxxers will be coming out, they will defy that. And in fact, the fact that it's mandatory actually would be weaponized by anti-vaxxers to recruit others to the anti-vaxxer cause. So it's a bad idea to make it mandatory, really.
Right. So if mandatory route is out of the question, how are we going to build vaccine confidence to ensure people sign up for it?
Well, it's not going to be easy. One thing you've got to do is that you've got to educate, you've got to inform, you've got to make sure that people understand why they want to take the vaccine, why it's necessary for them to take. Because when you do that, then they will actually help and recruit for you. It's not going to be easy because especially with a new disease like COVID-19 and the vaccines that are going to be available are limited, but you've got to put in the work. You know, it's not going to, you just can't force people to take the vaccine. But you can mandate it for certain groups of people like health workers or, first responders. But for the general population, you just can't do that.
And Azrul, this is a very hypothetical question, but what if there aren't enough people who choose to get vaccinated and we don't achieve that herd immunity that we need? What are our options then, especially since the government has already, spent money and secured these vaccines?
Well, getting to herd immunity is going to be hard. I think one of the things that we could have to look at is who can be vaccinated, who can't. And for the moment, it's already been indicated that if you're below 16, chances are you can't for the moment. But clinical trials are currently being held in order for it to ascertain whether or not the vaccine can work for those below the age of 16. But, this is something that we need to examine. Herd immunity is still far away. I think most of the countries are going to be aiming for that. And it's important for us to look at those other countries to see what those strategies are in relation to getting it to 60 or right now, I think 80% was what the Prime Minister said. So we're just going to have to look and see.
Azrul, what's your sense of each country's discretion in terms of attaching conditions to some vaccinations? For example, if you want to come for business travel, you might be mandated to be vaccinated, or for example, schools as well.
Yeah, well, that one's quite common. I mean, for quite a number of jobs, that you have in, for example, a healthcare worker, you are actually required to have certain jabs in order for you to be able to do that work. It could be in the future that before you get on a plane, a mandate that's been given is that you're going to have a jab. And that could basically be done. And I think that's something that could actually be something we look forward to in the future.
Right. So let's just talk about the two main groups, the anti-vaxxers and those on the fence. How do we basically win their hearts over? What kind of campaigns should we do to basically encourage them to just join the bandwagon?
Well, honestly, when it comes to anti-vaxxers, they don't trust experts, they don't trust the industry, and certainly not the government. Anti-vaxxers are going to be a very tough crowd to actually get to win over. And I don't think it's going to be a priority for the moment when it comes to the COVID-19. And certainly it's something that education is going to have to target, but also it may be necessary for us to put some form of restriction concerning anti-vaxxers. Obviously, we can't force them, but they are certainly going to have to be prohibited from, you know, entering certain spaces or enrolling in certain activities. So it's going to have to be exclusion rather than inclusion when it comes to anti-vaxxers. So they have to make up their own mind because we are not going to force them.
And Azrul, do you have any sense or any surveys done in terms of the percentage of population who have this vaccine hesitancy in Malaysia?
Well, you know, Ipsos last year did a survey of Malaysians concerning COVID-19 and the willingness to take a vaccine. And it found that around 86% of Malaysians were willing to take the vaccine. And the Ministry of Health did another survey early this, just a couple of weeks ago, released another survey, and it indicated that it is now 67%, where 33% are unwilling to take the vaccine. So it seems to indicate that there's some kind of vaccine hesitancy that seems to be on the increase, because it's now dropped from more than 80% to now 67%. So it is of concern, especially when it comes to a new disease like this with new vaccines that are being developed. So we can't take it for granted. There is a certain amount of vaccine hesitancy occurring.
I want to shift the conversation a bit to timeline. Now, the Prime Minister said yesterday that 80% of Malaysians will receive the vaccine by the first quarter of 2022. But earlier reports suggested that we would be able to achieve herd immunity by end of this year. So what caused this slippage of timeline, and what's your view on this actually?
Well, the reality is that the Prime Minister yesterday said that we're going to be able to achieve 80% in 12 months. Now, this is an incredibly ambitious target. If you do the math, you find that we're looking at 2.25 million per month to be able to vaccinate 27 million people in 12 months, which translates to around 75,000 people per day. And that's incredibly ambitious. Economist Intelligence Unit actually did a projection concerning Malaysia and found that it's possible that we will reach the 60% target in quarter two of 2023, not even next year, but 2023. And that's more realistic. So unfortunately, I think from what we can see realistically, Malaysia will not be able to vaccinate the majority of its population at least until 2 years from today. So I hate to break it to the Prime Minister, but it's possible that that's quite an ambitious target. I hope it's true. And I pray that we'll be able to get enough vaccines, enough vaccinators to make sure that that target is able to be reached within that time frame.
So, Azrul, what are the challenges we face? And, you know, from a general public perspective who is not a healthcare specialist, we invariably compare ourselves to other countries which seem to be, you know, rolling out vaccination program very aggressively. Why is that not the case for us?
Well, you know, admittedly, we had a little bit of a slow start compared to like Singapore, for example. And I think many of these countries were able to negotiate and to have preparations concerning the procurement of vaccines much, much earlier compared to Malaysia. But the good thing is that we started off 2021 with at least one vaccine in hand. And today we have now three deals on the table. But this is where Malaysia, unfortunately, you know, we're not fortunate enough to be like Hong Kong, Singapore and Taiwan, which the Economist Intelligence Unit have actually indicated that these are the only three countries in this part of the world that's going to be able to vaccinate more than 60% of its population by quarter four of 2021. So, you know, Malaysia is just catching up. But, you know, I think we're doing much, much better now compared to where we were last month. So I think the government is trying to, you know, catch up with other countries, but we are certainly better than some of our neighbours when it comes to this.
Okay, Azrul, thanks so much for your time. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, the Chief Executive for the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Now, I just couldn't help thinking, gentlemen and lady, that all this discussion, the aforementioned discussion would be moot once it becomes provable that the vaccine is sufficient in terms of imparting immunity, right?
It has been somewhat approved. I mean, that has been already proven. I mean, most of the vaccine efficacy is above 90%. I mean, the three major ones at least.
In the laboratory.
It's more than laboratory. It's gone beyond clinical trials already, right?
You have it en masse, where most countries around the world and most people within those countries have taken the vaccines and have shown that they're immune to the virus, then the proof is in the pudding, lah. That's what I'm saying, right?
That's why the clinical trials have already occurred for most of these countries, right?
And that's why 33% are reluctant, because they see that the vaccine trials normally take a number of years. In this case, it's accelerated, right?
Everything has to be accelerated because COVID-19 is such a serious pandemic. I think what the difference was that you had so many governments working hand in hand, and also scientists working hand in hand to kind of accelerate the process. I don't think there were any slippages in terms of the process itself, in terms of getting the vaccine efficacy rate updated, and all the trials were done, tick those boxes. It's just that we have to admittedly, we're not used to the pace. So I think there are of course going to be question marks. That's why education is key, data transparency is key, and acknowledging that along the way there might be some issues, and acknowledging their symptoms, but it doesn't mean that these trials are not effective these vaccines aren't effective.
Okay, stay tuned for Datuk Kamarul Ridzwan of UZMA with Wong Shanding after the 8 o'clock news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.